And we again are turning to the fruit of the Spirit passage in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In the King James Version we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. So in the newer translations, the word that is translated gentleness in the King James is translated meekness. So there is a difference in the translations. And that idea of gentleness is one of my favorites in Scripture. And there are many verses, and we're going to go over quite a few of them this morning, that use that word gentleness. Now, in my mind, gentleness comes from strength. You can be gentle and be strong, or meek and strong. Perhaps we can be gentle because of the strength that we have, not in spite of the strength that we have. And spiritually, that's true as well. And it also comes with attitude. What is my attitude? What is our attitude? There are two wonderful stories that are told, and I'm not sure if they're true or not, of our first president, George Washington. One was that one day George Washington was out fox hunting on a horse, and as he jumped over a stone wall, he inadvertently, the horse kicked one of the stones off the top of the wall. And he stopped his horse, and he went back to fix the wall. And one of the men who was with him said, "You're too big a man to bother with that." And Washington gently replied, "No, I'm just the right size." The other story is a story while at Valley Forge. A corporal was directing three men as they tried to lift a log into place. It was too heavy. But the corporal commanded again and again, "All right, men, one, two, three, lift." A man in an overcoat came by and said to the corporal, "Why don't you help them?" The corporal pulled himself up to full height and replied, "Sir, I am a corporal." Without a word, the man stepped over, and with his help, the log went easily into place. And you know who that man was, George Washington. That's the character, that's the attitude of gentleness. The first verses that we'll deal with God's gentleness toward the believer. And we start again with God because He'll not ask us to become what He is not. He will not ask us to do what He would not do. So we see this attribute in God, first of all. This attitude of gentleness in who God is. And then when we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives, He plants the seed of gentleness and it grows in us so that we can be gentle with each other and also gentle with others, both inside and outside of the church. So we need to know what it means to be gentle. And so first of all, we see God in relationship with His people. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says, "Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." love that picture of Jesus with the lamb over his shoulders carrying him. Even better, I like the one I have in my study of Jesus holding and cuddling up to that little lamb. The picture of the shepherd with his sheep, gently carrying, not about to hurt or harm, that little one that he holds, that little one who he carries. He is properly represented in the person of Jesus. Isaiah, still talking about Jesus in Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 3. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. How tempting it is to reach out and touch the ash. You know, that to me would be the best part of cigarettes, is hitting it and watching the ash fall. I just like to do that. I was in the truck yesterday with Brad, and he said, Pastor, I've already made one trip to the dump and the truck stinks, so I'm going to light this little piece of, we used to call it punk when I was a kid. They call it incense now. So he lit that, and I stuck it into a little crack on the dashboard, and the smoke came up, you know, and it made the place smell a little bit better, I suppose. Darlene would say it made it smell a little worse, but as we went down the street, you know, the ash was kind of building up on the end of that little stick. And every once in a while, I just flick it a little bit just to watch the ash fall. Isn't that a tempting thing to do? Just because you can, right? I had a friend one day, and he said, you know, he was a nurse's aide. And Chuck would say things like, he had one of those pocket protector things. You'd never make fun of him because of it, because he went over 300 pounds and was just all solid muscle. But he would bend over to help someone. One of the pens would fall out. And he said, that's Satan just going like this to see if he can't get my goat. You know, well, one of his friends one day started swearing, and Chuck just started backing off like this. And finally, his friend's looking at him and says, what are you doing? Chuck said, well, I don't want to be around when God goes. How tempting it would be for God with all of his power just to flick the ash. You know, but no, he's gentle. You know, and he deals with us in his gentleness. A dimly burning wick he's not going to flick. He's not going to extinguish. So we're called by Jesus himself, who is God. Called not in judgment, but called in our great need. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I remember going to a service one day, and the pastor said, just take a really deep breath. And every once in a while, I still do it. Just let it. And he said, doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good just to rest? And Jesus says, enter into my rest. Take my yoke upon you. So many times religion puts a yoke upon our shoulders that we can't bear. But Jesus said, yoke yourself with me. Take my yoke upon you. The yoke that's connected to omnipotence. He's saying to us, combine with me, unite with me, and let me do the heavy lifting. Let me do the heavy pulling. Let me carry you. When we think of who we're yoked to. It's like the little boy and his father said to him, go out in the middle of the garden, son, and move that stone. little boy went out, and with all of his might, he was trying to move the stone, and he couldn't budge it. And he came back to his dad. He said, "Dad, I can't move it. I tried my hardest, and I can't move that stone." And his father said to him, "Did you use all of your strength, all of the strength that was available to you to move the stone?" The little boy said, "Yes, Dad, I tried with all my might to move the stone." And his father said, "No, you didn't." He said, "What do you mean I didn't? I tried with all my heart, with all my might. I couldn't move it. I couldn't budge it." And his father said to him, "Son, you didn't ask me. You didn't ask me because my strength was available. And all you had to do was ask." And that's the way it is with the Lord too. All we have to do is ask. And he makes his strength available to us in gentleness. Omnipotence, gentle omnipotence. And that strength is available to us. Then there are verses that deal with gentleness as a Christian trait of the believer. The fruit of the Spirit are not just for a select few believers, but for all of us. God wants us to be like Jesus. Listen to some of these verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, "Be completely humble and gentle." Those are the two words that we read about Jesus in Matthew. Humble and gentle. "Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Titus chapter 3, verse 2, "Always be gentle toward everyone." James 3:13, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom." To be gentle again. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." As a robe, sometimes Paul would say, "Take off certain things and put on certain things." Gentleness is one of those things that we can put on in our lives. We can be gentle. And wouldn't you like the people who are surrounding you to be gentle? Wouldn't you like your wife to be gentle? Wouldn't you like your husband to be gentle? You know, wouldn't that be nice to live with someone who was gentle? The opposite is harsh. We have enough of that in our lives, don't we? People who are rough. People who are harsh. You know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Do we want people to be gentle toward us? Who are the people in your life that need gentleness? We need to show them the gentleness that comes as a result of the Spirit's indwelling in our lives. And if we need it in the midst of the church, the world needs gentleness today as well. First Peter said in chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." So good behavior is an important part of it. But as we share Christ, we share him with gentleness. Not with a spirit of condemnation, but first of all, establishing a relationship. I think that's what we were talking about in Sunday school class this morning and going through the book of Jude. An apostasy in either doctrine or actions. We first of all need to establish our relationship with the Lord. Then we need to establish our relationship with other people, so that we, like Paul, can go to Titus and be gentle, or Timothy, or other people in his lives. You establish the relationship and you let that person know that you are gentle and that you are loving. And then you're able to go and talk to them about some of the lifestyle decisions that they've made. We earn their respect and we respect the way that they live. We need more people like that in our lives. And as the Holy Spirit works to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, there's going to be more of those people. In fact, we might even become one of those people. You can't just take their place. You know, but the Lord is looking for people to stand in the gap today. You know, there is a gap that someone needs to step into. You know, will you allow God to produce those things in your life so that you can stand in the gap? Ezekiel talked about that in the Old Testament. Both in the lives of Christians and in unbelievers. Well, we have Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentle spirit, how do you like that? Your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. We need, and the world needs, people with gentle spirits. You can share the same information in different ways. We need to share it in a gentle way with people who need to know the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, doesn't matter where you are, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness. There again, the same words that we saw in Jesus. Humility and gentleness. So we as Christians, in dealing with other believers, we need to have that fruit of the Spirit known as gentleness. And in dealing with unbelievers, we also need the spirit of gentleness, or the attribute of gentleness in our lives. Then there are other verses that deal with the ability of Christian leaders to deal with lifestyle choices of believers within the church with gentleness. So first of all, we need to consider our own spiritual growth. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We see a person in the church who is choosing a wrong lifestyle. You know, we're talking again about true leadership. And it doesn't mean only positions within the church, people to elected positions. Pastor, deacons, trustees, Sunday school teachers, whatever. But it means those people whom we respect, who we see walking with the Lord. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Don't just let them go their own way. But you see something that needs correction. You see something, and they need help. They're making a wrong decision. They're living in a way that's a detriment to themselves. They need someone who cares enough to confront them. Ye who are not as false spirituality, but a real spirituality that's respected by people within the church, you go and restore that person with humility and with gentleness. How that person responds. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? We should all be able to respond to someone coming to us concerned about our spiritual growth. We shouldn't be offended, should we? Because we all know that we all have the same struggles, that we're all dealing with some issue in our lives. And it wouldn't it be nice to have someone who is spiritual care enough about you to say, hey, how are you doing? How are you growing? I'd like to talk to you about something that I see in your life. Would we be willing to accept someone coming into our lives and getting down to the nitty-gritty in that way? Wouldn't it take a very strong person to do such a thing? Strength, gentleness, they go hand in hand. And there's so many more verses. 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who in your presence am lowly among you, but being absent am of good courage toward you. Sometimes it's easier to write a letter. 2 Timothy 2. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, patient, correcting opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth. Paul again in Ephesians 4, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another. There are also in the scripture many examples of the opposite. Harshness, roughness, striking out. Moses striking the rock instead of speaking to it. The Lord wanted to show the power of his word by having Moses speak to a rock and have water come. The water still came, but Moses lost the blessing because he struck it instead of speaking to it. So many times that happens. Joab was told by King David to be gentle with his son Absalom if he found him. Instead, he killed him as Absalom was hanging helpless from a tree. Joab killed him. An example from the Gospels, Luke chapter 9. When the days were approaching for his ascension, this is Jesus, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him. And they went and entered a village of Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. I can just imagine John and James. Have you ever wanted to pull down some fire from heaven on somebody? That's a temptation, isn't it? Thank the Lord he doesn't do that. We might have been consumed ourselves. We could be on the other side of that. But James, John, the beloved disciple, he calls himself, at one point was called the Son of Thunder. He and James, the Sons of Thunder, their nickname. And yet he became the apostle that wrote more about love than any other apostle in the New Testament. What a life-transforming power the Holy Spirit is in our lives. To take us from being full of hatred to being filled with love. And there's a special blessing for those who are gentle. Matthew 5:5 said, blessed are the gentle, or blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And of course, I didn't know where to fit this in, but this is a wonderful verse that goes along with it. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A blessing for those who are gentle. So gentle, coming from a position of strength. Mayor Perlman quoted Donald G., gave an illustration I like. A guide was taking a group of visitors through a factory. One of the things he showed them was a giant steam hammer capable of flattening an automobile. Then the guide put down a walnut and had the hammer break the shell without hurting the meat of the nut. What an illustration of gentleness as power under perfect control. So we need to pray as we seek the fruit of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would plant that plant in our lives of gentleness, that seed of gentleness, and allow us to grow in the strength of the Lord, in the power of the Lord, in the omnipotence of the Lord, to allow Him to grow us and strengthen us, and at the same time produce that gentleness that we need in dealing with our kids, our spouses, our church, and those people we come in contact with in the world, that they might be drawn by the gentleness, realizing how strong we are as Christians, and yet how gentle and how loving and kind we are as well. So let's make that our prayer today. Lord, I yield to your gentleness, to the power of your Holy Spirit, to make me truly a gentle person, a gentleman. Isn't that a nice word? Make me, Lord, a gentleman. Make me, Lord, a gentlewoman for your honor and for your glory. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask that we might understand this concept of gentleness, that we might truly appreciate how gentle you have been in our lives, where you could just flick us off as the ash of a cigarette or an incense or whatever. You don't. Instead, you embrace us. You love us. You make us profitable in your plans and purposes. And I pray, Father, that you would help each one who is here this morning to realize that you do have a wonderful plan for us, and it's not to make us weak, to make us impotent in the way that we live. But you have an incredible opportunity for each one of us to become powerful spiritually because of the presence of your Word and your Holy Spirit in our lives. And that we can make a significant impact because of your strength in the lives of our family members, in our church family, and in the world. Grow this attribute of gentleness through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.